Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
A Misery Monday kicks off on Grant and Danny. September 29th, 2025. You are listening live to The Fan. We are in D.C. in the Navy Yard in our Half Street studios, and we will take you all the way up to 6:30 tonight. Jay Gruden is on the show at 5 o'clock. The Commanders went to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Defensively, it was an immense struggle. They give up 34 to a team that didn't score 1 week earlier, and they lose by 7. Danny, they are 2-2. They have beaten two teams they should beat at home decidedly by 15 or more points.
Yep.
And they have lost two road games now. And in both of those games, especially on defense, they have looked bad.
They've been within a score, but you watch the game, it's not that close. I think you already said it. An offense that has stunk this year. A quarterback that has never done this. Everyone's doing the, what the hell's the matter with Drake London? What the hell's the matter with Zach Robinson, their OC? What the hell's the matter with Kyle Pitts? What's going on with Michael Penix? I got the cure for what ails you. They're wearing burgundy and a little bit of white, and they're coming to town, and you can do whatever the hell you want. Enjoy it. It's a carnival ride. You get one ticket. You get to go over and over and over and over again, like offseason at King's Dominion, and you get in line for the Anaconda. Enjoy it. This defense sucks. Marshawn Lattimore sucks. Anybody else want a piece? They had an out this offseason. They didn't take it. Plenty of cornerbacks that are making a lot less than that guy are playing a lot better. They can't cover. That's the story. That's your A headline and all the way through the newspaper. The old school newspaper, you go through the B section, B1, B7, like you're playing Battleship. Every story should be about they can't cover and then tell me about the rest of it. We'll get to timeout management and how the offense played that was undermanned. There's plenty to talk about. They can't cover. Back to you.
Yeah, I thought there was a chance you go to Atlanta because of all the injuries and you lose, and you kind of feel like it was still a progressive step forward. A tight game, and there's just not enough plays being made with a bunch of guys not participating, backup quarterback under center. That's not what happened here. The healthier side of the ball gave you no chance. Yeah, they've got some injuries right now on defense. Dietrich Wise, their defensive end, is a guy they're going to miss on edge runs, and that's where they got chewed up by Bijan Robinson. If you remember, Will Harris, for the first time at safety, wasn't playing, nor was Percy Butler, who's one of his understudies. So you're down two safeties on the back end. And Jonathan Jones, one of their veteran backup corners, was also not playing. So they were without, theoretically, like four guys that are a part of the rotation, almost all of them in the back end. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who had a really good start to the game, tears his pec, it sounds like. He leaves the locker room in a sling. He's not going to be back in the foreseeable future, reportedly. But that's not the side of the ball where you had the out. That's not the side of the ball where you had the excuses. Because the big defensive front was still there to stop the run. You were going to be able to get pressure because all hands were on deck there. And it didn't happen. They were okay, I thought, for the most part against the run. Robinson and Algier combined for 126 yards on 33 attempts, right around four a pop. There were some violent physical runs where you didn't tackle well that led to touchdowns. And, you know, they ripped off a 14 to 19 yard touchdown run running through tackles. I think there were 12 to 15 somewhere in there, depending on the site you're looking at. Missed tackles in the game. Major, major, major problem. But as you said, Danny, the issue here was zero pass rush and zero coverage on the back end. Michael Penix, who this week Falcons reporters were asking Raheem Morris about as a starting quarterback, about being benched possibly, was just throwing against air. It looked like a practice 7-on-7 where he's just throwing to wide open Drake London, 8 catches, 10 targets, under 10 yards. Bijan Robinson in space. If only someone had said, please never defend him with a linebacker. Everyone knows this. Joe Witt knows this. And there it was. Bobby Wagner trying to run with Bijan Robinson. The result, 70 yards, and he sets up a score. They had zero answers on defense. And their offensive coordinator in Atlanta, Zach Robinson, who had to come down from the booth to the sideline, who had to fire a coach this week, who people were calling for the head of, who looks like he is kind of ill-prepared and just unqualified most of the time. He worked Joe Witt in the coaching matchup. Defensive-minded staff, by the way. Head coach Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator Joe Witt. Like, I'm getting tired of the having a defensive-minded head coach and still having a bad defense thing. Because I remember it when Ron Rivera was here.
Yeah, elected the first time.
At some point, how is the defense terrible? Like, this is what you do.
Well, you're supposed to have competence, too. From the Ron Rivera and old dust-up, this is what it looked like. By the way, passing off routes, communicating on defense. Ah, that's communication. I never want to hear that again, by the way. Joe Barry says hello. Like, at least when I have some adults in the room who can understand timeout usage. We still don't, by the way. They squander a second-half timeout early in the third quarter every damn week because they can't get organized. What is it you'd say you do here at a certain point? But to me, the run game, the run defense, once again, plenty good enough. Algier just over 3 a carry. Bijan Robinson under his season average. He's going to do that to a lot of people. He's always going to get his bursts of 6 and 7, double-digit yard gains because he's excellent. Right? You do the best you can. You corral him. You gang tackle. But for the most part, they held him in check on the ground. It's the air. 2nd and 17, you get a first down on that drive. 2nd and 16, you get a first down, whether it's that play or the next play. 2nd and 13, they find a way to get first downs. It was these moments where the run game, inevitably, even the best running teams in the world, the run will stop itself. Holding penalties, someone doesn't execute, maybe one of your guys knifes through, tackle for a loss. You get the whole point of this defense this year, this whole offseason, was about setting up those kinds of downs. The obvious passing downs. That'll improve the defense. That'll improve the pass coverage. You'll see. We'll get home on some precious. We'll have some guys running wild and free. It'll be run stuffers on first down, but second down, the ponies will run free. Watch this. We'll hit the quarterback. Zero pressure. 0-0-0. Zero ability to cover. In obvious passing situations, 3rd and 7 on the final drive where they go run, run, pass. Easy conversions. They cannot cover anyone. I don't know if it's man. I don't know if it's zone. They tried everything. Joe Witt's got nothing on that little play sheet. There's nothing that he could say into that little headset to communicate to Bobby Wagner with the little green dot helmet that's going to work. They can't cover anyone.
When they won on first down, 2nd and 17, Atlanta gets 14. 2nd and 16, they got 43. Lattimore got toasted despite a penalty.
And he held, too. He's special, isn't he?
2nd and 13, they get 15. 2nd and 12, Atlanta gets 12. 2nd and 12, incomplete.
Here we go. Let's go.
Wait, there's a flag.
Oh.
Defensive holding. Automatic first down. Those are the down and distances you wake up in the middle of the night licking your lips about. Just thinking about how good that donut's going to be in the morning. 2nd and 17, 2nd and 16, 2nd and 13, 2nd and 12, 2nd and 12. That's the dream. And in almost all of those downs and distances, it didn't work. So overall, defensively, they give up 435 yards and 6.8 per play, which over the course of the season would be far and away number one in the NFL. I know they came in really good statistically on third down. I think that was mostly that Giants game. Regardless, small sample size, they were number one in the NFL. They gave up a 50% conversion rate, 6 of 12, which was a little bit better than that earlier in the game. And then the only fourth down attempt, 1-for-1 for Atlanta, was not even close. They needed a couple of yards. They got a wide open guy and moved the chains.
How many do you want? You can get more than two. We'll get you whatever you want.
First takeaway of the season. They had not taken the ball away from an opponent. And while Mikey Sanders still made a nice catch, I'll give him credit, he went up the ladder. It was just a terrible decision and a terrible throw by Penix when he actually had Drake London wide open behind Sanders still, who, you know, was kind of trying to get depth. And he made the leaping interception on an underthrown ball by Penix. But that is the only takeaway this defense has in 16 quarters. So what you have right now, Danny, is a collection of guys where they're not making enough plays. There's not like playmakers that are generating takeaways. They only had 2 quarterback hits on Michael Penix in the entire game. They had 0 pass rush. And that has not been a problem for the most part this year. They were top 10 in sacks. They were number one, at least according to one of the sites, in pass rush pressure percentage, basically. Mm-hmm. They'd been really, really good. Not in this game. The missed tackles, double digits, way too many. And then the coverage problems. So the result was Michael Penix, career day, free and easy. Atlanta's running backs out of the backfield with Robinson going for over 100. Drake London, 100-yard game to get right in his own way. I don't know what you hang your hat on. Like, defensively, the identity right now is size, physicality, winning the line of scrimmage on early downs up front, and, like, stopping the run. In that regard, going up against the best back in the league, maybe, you held your own. You didn't win like you have in your two victories, but you were okay.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, like, what do they do?
They're slow.
Because they can't run with people at the second and third level, they're faster. But in the linebacking core, like Luvu or Wagner coming downhill, sign me the heck up right here and right now. But when you start getting them to run toward the sideline, this does not work.
Even the final drive that sealed the game, that little field goal, right? You forced multiple third downs on that drive. Third and four, you tip your cap. Penix actually made a really good play. Scrambles for 5 yards for a first down. Third and six, easy completion of Kyle Pitts, who stinks, by the way, who is a disappointment, who everybody hates down there, but not yesterday. He was wonderful.
He didn't on the 22 and 26-yard catches that he made.
Yeah.
Or on his touchdown.
He looked great on those, as you and I were worried he would. Third and six, easy conversion with a penalty on Quan Martin there, by the way. Third and seven, a couple
Quan
downs
Martin,
later.
I know this went around yesterday. I thought it was a tough day at the office for number 20.
Yeah. And more in store, probably. Michael Penix complete to Drake London on third and seven, which sets up what ended up, again, being the game-winning field goal. That's the microcosm. Even we didn't even get to the egregious ones. We talked about them some. Second and 16, second and 17, the pin your ears back, let's go feast, nothing happens there. When everyone knows you're passing, that's what this league is. It's always going to be third and seven. Who does it best on either side of the ball is who wins. That's the best way to me to break it down. Third and seven, when the whole world knows you're passing, can you pass? Third and seven, when you know they're passing, can you stop it? The answer is no right now for Washington on defense. That's the story of the game to me. There are two road games. They have been torched through the air. Geno got him too. The only times he didn't get him was when they're pressuring him, they hit him, they sacked him a couple different times. When that happens, the pass defense is fine. My contention is when the ball is actually thrown, when the ball is in the air, it's them, it's Dallas, it's Miami for who's the worst. Shuffle up and deal. You could pick one out of a hat and you're probably not wrong. They are a disaster in that regard. I don't know what the fix is. I'm not smart enough to know. Because, again, they tried everything yesterday. They tried man. They man more than most people. People were going, you can't play zone. What can they play? What is it that you can do? When you rush with four and you have seven guys covering, those guys can't do it. When you double somebody, when you man somebody, everybody but the Giants. And thank God they played a couple of teams that were so hell-bent on headbutting you and running the dang ball between the tackles in Green Bay. And then previous week, using their new toy, Ashton Jeanty, if they just dropped back and threw, who knows how many points they would score. Atlanta torched them through the air with a guy that has been awful. I'm a Mike Penix fan. I think he's going to be really good. He hasn't been good at all in any of his games until yesterday. He set career highs against them.
Well, I think the most frustrating thing for me about this defense was in game one against the Giants, who had flaws clearly, you saw a lot of the things they preached all offseason and felt like they were going to get better at, and it kind of came to fruition. But on a sliding scale here, like a staircase level regression, every week it has gotten worse and worse and worse. And the two road games, it's like you didn't get off the bus. There was just almost like a lack of preparation or juice or energy. It's been a tale of two clubs. The home games, both scheduled wins, mind you. The Raiders, cross country, Monday night into a Sunday. And the Giants, before the Jackson Dart quarterback change, they actually won with their rookie quarterback going, invigorating them and injecting some youth and exuberance yesterday. But you get those two wins at home. And by the way, they played well enough and won by enough that they got style points in those. Like, yep. Those were good outings. But at Green Bay, and then yesterday, in Atlanta, this has been ugly. This has been Del Rio defense level of gross. To the point where, as the game went on, Danny, before the camera pans to the receiver, like, you see Penix with that absolute cannon hanging from his shoulder. And he rips a ball, and the camera then has to correct to show downfield over the receiver. You just know the guy's going to be wide open.
You know their separation.
It was all day long. There were not contested plays. It was as if the Falcons were a couple steps ahead of Washington from a coaching standpoint when their offense was on the field throughout the game. By the way, right now, 30th against the pass, giving up over 8 yards per play. 249 per game through the air. And that's with a really good week one, kind of as a quarter of the season. So that helps you. But still, they're on pace that if you played them 17 times, you'd throw for like 4,300 yards.
Yeah, if you only got to play them, you'd be the MVP of the league as the quarterback. I wish I was smart enough to tell you, here's how I would fix it. My first fix would have been this offseason and would have not included Marshawn Lattimore anymore. I saw it. No, thank you. I get why they made the trade. I would have made the trade too, by the way, because you're running a race. Your wheels are breaking down. And right before the end of the race, someone offers you wheels. You're gonna pay for that. You're going to try. You went to the NFC title game. It worked to a degree, right? He's not good. They could have gone out this offseason free of charge, basically. Cut him, lost a couple of draft picks. They might have had a tough time selling that to people, but I think when, you know, Nate Hobbs is playing for you, or, you know, Jordan Lewis is one of the top-rated corners in the league, or Isaiah Rodgers, who was available, who single-handedly won games for Minnesota at this point. When any of these guys that are making a lot less against the cap than he is were playing for you, you'd feel a lot better about it. You'd go, oh, I wish I had that third round or whatever the hell they gave up for him. He stinks. There's nothing that he can do right now other than commit penalties and give up things.
So I get why he is an easy punching bag, and I'm not pushing back in any way on how he is playing or how he's played or whether he's washed or what he has left in the tank. I do think, not unlike when we talk about Josh Connerly at tackle, and we say part of the job is on the staff and play calling and usage and helping him to insulate him a little bit. It's a hard job on an island at tackle in the National Football League. So do things to help him. Some of that is game situation, being ahead of the stick. Some of that is play calling and running the ball more. Some of that's putting Trent Scott next to him as a big tight end extra tackle, right? And in the same way with Lattimore, there are ways to insulate and benefit players. Now, is he the guy who has the largest contract on the entire team at $97.6 million? Yes, absolutely, he is that guy. Is he one of your five highest paid players behind McLaurin, Tunsil, Payne, and he's fourth in AAV? Absolutely. So heavy lies the crown. The expectations should totally be high enough that you don't need to help him a ton. They act like he's a corner one.
Yeah.
Who can shut guys down. And frankly, what's really alarming is this is the kind of matchup, I think, where Marshawn Lattimore should feast. Because it is
against a Drake London.
Bigger,
yep.
More physical, slower, plus-size tight end type wide receiver who mostly operates around the line of scrimmage and in the 10 to 12-yard area. This is where he made his money in his career, basically getting into hand fights with guys like Mike Evans and some of these, you know, bigger plotting wideouts. So the fact that this one went as badly as it did, not ideal. But I say all this to say, go back to the 43-yard play. Okay, where he guesses wrong that he's going to throttle that route down when he runs 70% of his routes within 10 yards, and that was the wrong decision, and he grabs him, 5-yard penalty, gets worked for 43 yards. On that play, it's a good design by Atlanta to kind of motion him, changes the assignment right before the snap for Lattimore, so he's kind of now shifting and figuring out, okay, I've got this guy. And then on top of that, there's zero pressure. It's like a deep drop. Penix steps up in the pocket. It's completely clean around him. He can step into the throw and let it rip. That's a bad ask of a cornerback in general on a double move when it's just an unimpeded throw. Now, if the point is lifetime achievement award since he's been here, you're just done with Lattimore, I totally understand that. I'm not here to defend the guy. But I'm saying we do this at other positions, and especially on offense, where we talk about, you know, the complementary nature of everything. And, yeah, if you want to just put him out on an island to deal with double moves and get no pass rush, he's going to get beat a lot. But I promise you the really good corners in the league are too. It's a really, really hard thing to do. Now, different conversation. How's he playing? Not very well. Does he make too much money? And have they bet on him twice and it's been wrong twice so far? Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I just think some of the disdain, like he is becoming the guy that all the venom goes to, which is fine if that's where people want to sink it. I think they got much larger issues. Not to say he's not individually as a player, one of them, but this is a systematic failure right now. This is a, like, Joe Witt has no answers right now. And Lattimore is a piece of that puzzle, but it is a puzzle. I think it's the piece that everyone wants to stare at.
I think it's fair. I mean, it's the biggest piece to me is the guy that is your second most expensive player behind Daron Payne against the cap has allowed 3 15-yard plus completions, 6 penalties, 9 first downs allowed, 20. I think it's 11 catches for $173 or whatever it is, just through a couple of games.
But how about this? I mean, Mikey Sanra still statistically has been worse than Lattimore in terms of what he's allowed.
And I'm getting to
that. I don't hear everyone getting ready to throw him out of the
totally. I think if he's making $20 million a year against the cap, I might. But he also has some good deposits in the bank, talking about Sanders.
Understood.
So last year was good.
This is my point. I think it's a lifetime achievement award for Lattimore here, where there's just been a lot of withdrawals and no deposits.
I think it's a big part of it. And I'm glad he decided not to come to OTAs or any of the offseason activities and did his own thing, because it's working out great for you. Splendid. That's another part of it to me, too. Like, this hired gun, not with the same level of buy-in as somebody else. Like, if you're going to skip all this stuff, you know, at least Laremy Tunsil, I think, has been pretty good, even though he gets more off days than Jason Bishop around a long weekend.
I think he's been very solid.
Yeah, so that's fine. But if you're this bad, and part of a unit that's this bad, and you didn't do everything you possibly could in the offseason, it's easy for me to have some ire against you.
If they made four big moves, and we're going to count that as one of them, just because essentially you re-upped the one-year deal with Lattimore or whatever, this offseason. So it would be the trade for Tunsil so far as a win.
Win.
The trade for Debo.
Slam dunk.
So far as a win. I would say the $15 million for Kinlaw that I hated so far as a win.
I hated it too, but it's a win.
And then the Lattimore decision is a huge loss. So you're basically, your biggest money decisions, you're 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
But the draft classes of the last couple of years at the moment just aren't giving you enough either. And that's something we can chew on and get into. But it's 2-2 now for Washington a month into the season. You hit the road to take on the Chargers. 72 hours ago, that game looked like a scheduled loss. They lose to the Giants, and they lose an all-pro caliber tackle. So they're now without two Pro Bowl tackles. And after the second tackle got hurt in this game, Joe Alt, they gave up a pressure rate over 50% against Justin Herbert. So I would say that game, in an environment where there is no real home field advantage in LA for the Chargers, is indoors on carpet with Jaden Daniels almost certainly coming back. A lot more winnable than maybe it felt like a couple of days ago, but what a pendulum-swinging game this is. To be 3-2 through 5 with a winning record, or a year after going 12-5, Danny, to stare down the barrel of possibly being 2-3 with massive defensive deficiencies. Let's get to game balls next and Gassers as well. Best and worst of Sunday's loss in Atlanta. The defense gave up 34 points a week after the Falcons did not score one single point against Carolina. Who's running Gassers? That's next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Say it, but I'd also like to be here next week to keep calling games.
Fair point.
Mariota, end zone, touchdown, McCaffrey!
Luke McCaffrey has a touchdown in consecutive games. Also ripped off a 50-plus yard kick return yesterday. It was not enough for the Commanders as they fell 34-27, losing a shootout in Atlanta. What a weird league. The Falcons get blanked and lose by 30 7 days earlier, and they go out and put up 7 yards per play, 435, go nuts through the air with Michael Penix throwing for a career high, and they hang 34 on Washington. It is time for game balls to the best and Gassers to the worst. As a reminder, Jay Gruden is on the show at 5 o'clock today. Plus, we've got Caps tickets to their opener. They open a week from tomorrow at Capital One Arena on, well, I guess it's a little deeper into the week, but October 8th is going to be their opener. So we will have those tickets for you here on Grant and Danny. Is it a four-pack? You're saying four. I don't know what that means. At 4 o'clock today? Okay, we'll do it at 4 o'clock, not 6 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Ahead of the Beltway.
As we said, yeah.
All right. Game balls and gassers. Game balls to the best, gassers to the worst.
What do you mean 4 o'clock?
I don't know. The Atlanta Falcons, great job coming off a terrible loss. Washington was the victim. They were awful, and you guys got to take advantage of that. So congrats on everybody for being able to dine off that for a couple of weeks. There are no more wolves at the door. So good for you, Atlanta Falcons.
I'll take a gasser. Anybody in the secondary yesterday that was responsible for making sure that Drake London didn't look like one of the better receivers in the NFL? Don't really care how we got here. Scheme, coaching staff, players, everyone's trying to figure out what's what. Don't really care. It was way too easy. There were too many open guys. There was no coverage at any point where it felt like there was a PBU or risk of an interception other than the one really bad throw by Penix when London was actually open. So I'll go gasser to the secondary.
Spoiler alert, I'm doing all gassers. Dan Quinn, Ron Rivera approves of your timeout usage. I need it to be a little tighter, brother. I need it to be a little tighter on that one. Third down, third quarter, 9:30 left to go. You just gave up a nice, tidy 70-yard pass to Bijan Robinson. Hey, guys, let's gather the troops, brotherhood. We really like a return-to-play procedure. Return to play. So you use that timeout, right, to drop something, to figure out a nice little scheme, a quick adjustment on the fly. So the next play was good, right? 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 7-yard touchdown to Pitts. But at least you don't have the timeout for a close game later on. Good stuff.
Young receivers, I thought, stepped up without McLaurin and Noah Brown. They didn't get a lot of opportunities, but Luke McCaffrey, you heard the touchdown on the way in, 2 for 21 in the score on 3 targets. The other throw wasn't catchable. It was just kind of the first third down of the game, the deep corner that they, you know, threw way over the top because he was well covered. Jalen Lane got 3 chances and caught 2 balls for 18 yards. In fact, he was also wide open on the interception. Should have been a walk-in touchdown on a well-thrown ball. Only pick Mariota has thrown in Washington dating back to last year in about 100 attempts. So uncharacteristic, generally doesn't put the ball in harm's way. Had that pick and then another near pick on a throw underneath to Zach Ertz, and a zoning linebacker jumped up and almost made a nice one-handed play. Mariota, for the most part, was fine in the game. I think he had maybe 3 or 4 throws he wants back out of 27, which for a backup quarterback you'll take. But between McCaffrey, Lane, who also caught a long pass that was negated, remember, by Ben Sinnott, and a hold would have been another like 30 yards there. So if you have that, and then he just gets a decent thrown ball, you know, that's a 4-catch game for 80-some yards and a touchdown, you know, based on what the routes he was running and how open he was. Then you had Tay Martin coming back to the ball for a 14-yard catch on his only target. I thought the kids at receiver stepped up a little bit.
Jalen Lane, catch a football, please. Catch the football, please, when it's punted to you. You fumbled and muffed twice. That didn't come back to bite you, but it will in the future.
Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, when he is handed the ball, he gets more than is schemed up. Kroski Merritt, 7 attempts for 47 yards, 6.7 per. For the season, he's averaging 6 yards per carry, like he's playing in the Big 12 or something. Now, his carry total is very low, and some of that might be there's just not enough trust in him yet in pass protection. He had a bad rep yesterday where they bring a linebacker, he can't make the block, and then he ends up drilling Mariota for an incompletion at the end of a play. You're going to have to keep getting better at that to just get more work. But there's still a way to involve this guy with more carries on running downs than they are. They're still giving a lot of other people carries. And Chris Rodriguez had the big 40-plus yarder yesterday. Danny, first time since the 50s that Washington has in consecutive weeks had 45-yard runs. Pretty crazy.
How about that?
They've got 3 guys that have gone for 42 or more on the ground on explosive plays this year. 3 different guys. McNichols has done it. Rodriguez has done it. And Kroski Merritt has done it. But I posted all 7 of Kroski Merritt's carries on Twitter, if you want to go check it out, at Grant H. Paulson. There's only 1 carry in there that I see where he just gets what's kind of schemed up without pushing the pile or doing something or making a jump cut. His vision's awesome. I just love the kid. I want him to have the ball in his hands more.
Marshawn Lattimore, 15 first downs attributed to him through 4 games. Say that again, 15 first downs, 9 on catches, 6 on penalties. He is a disaster. He cannot cover. He is washed. And this trade looks worse every day.
Speed at the linebacking position for Washington is a problem. When you can keep everything in tight in the phone booth, they're going to be just fine. Because I think Wagner's as good as there is on the planet at just making the short tackle between the tackle box, right? and specifically coming downhill. They were doing their little delayed blitz bit against the Raiders a bunch where he rushed, I think it was six times and got pressure four times and had a couple of sacks. He had an amazing game. When you get him running, though, go back and watch that Bijan Robinson play after the catch. And it's just, it looks like one of the fastest players in the league against a guy who's like, shouldn't be running ever.
Yeah, Robinson's going to win that track meet against a lot of people.
But it's a tough watch.
But that was egregious.
And I just worry about, like, teams see that, man. How do they not spend hours trying to figure out how to get that look and get Wagner on a running back next week when you're playing against Amarian Hampton?
And it's Dallas, it's going to be Kevontae Turpin. When it's, you know, name that team. Everybody's got a guy that's fast.
I don't know what the fix is.
Me neither.
But I know that my biggest concern going into the game is a larger concern coming out of it, which is I don't know how they deal with speed out of the backfield into space.
Joe Witt, sorry, dude. The press conferences are awesome. Your voice is deep, and you command respect. The way you play is not for everybody. You don't get any takeaways. Good job, Mikey Sandrichel, the first one of the year. That's an average of 0.25 takeaways for every four per game, which is not going to butter the biscuit at this stage. I know there's not much you can try right now in terms of fixing that secondary and that coverage. You're hampered by the personnel. But there's got to be something else. There's got to be an adjustment. I can't have career days for Tucker Kraft leading to career days for Michael Penix leading to career days for the next Jag that's running wild and free in your secondary.
Matt Gay, we can put the kicker discussion on ice for a week or two, I think. He has made six consecutive field goals. He's 7-for-10 on the season now. And he made all four of his kicks yesterday, as well as staying perfect on extra points. And he didn't kick any balls out of bounds on kickoffs. So this was about as good as it's going to get, I think, with Matt Gay. 43, 52, 41, and 42 yards yesterday. And there were some big kicks in there, by the way. Like, they're making a kick to pull it to one possession in the third quarter late. He's kicking from 42 yards to make it, again, a one-possession game, so they have a chance at the onside kick with 1:29 to go. These are game-on-the-line kind of moments. And I thought not only did he make his kicks, but they were mostly splitting uprights, pretty clean off the foot, you know, non-worry kicks. I liked the way it looked coming off of his foot yesterday. I'm in a better place mentally about Matt Gay.
Pass rush, two quarterback hits. I think Toby had the line before the show. Michael Penix is looking to get rattled. Like, at this stage of his career, he looks like he's hoping that somebody comes in there and, like, he wants to fight ghosts and have happy feet and not be very comfortable. You certainly made him comfortable. Only two QB hits. Frankie Louvu had one. Dorrance Armstrong had one. Other than that, good heavens. You can't leave this group to cover. I know more is expected of you, but this is the worst secondary in the universe right now. It's them, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. They are a disaster. Any ball in the air is going to be caught and caught for big yardage. You got to get home more. When you do, you can stop people on occasion. See the Raiders last week. They didn't come close to getting home. It's not as if Atlanta's got that, you know, juggernaut offensive line either. They're good, but they can't be that good where you're totally shut out.
Yeah, Louvu's quarterback hit was on his first sack of the season. I actually thought Frankie had his best game yesterday. More noticeable, a bigger impact, and just moved better, I thought, and was showing up more often. Eight tackles for him, was number two on the team behind Bobby Wagner with that first sack of the year. He had eight last year. Game balls and gassers, your opportunity to hop in next. 800-636-1067 is the number. You can call us up at 800-636-1067. Just to clean that up from earlier, 4 o'clock today, we're giving away that pair of tickets to the Caps home opener, and Jay Gruden does join us at 5 o'clock. You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
We'll get back into game balls and gassers in just a second. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We've got Caps tickets for you to opening night coming up at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz in about an hour and 15 minutes. No gassers given out around the league, but I do want to give the league one anyway. Ties should never happen, and a great day of football culminated in a shootout last night that went to overtime. It was this unbelievable game, Green Bay and Dallas. What an inexplicable league this is week to week in the early going, where you can be elite 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens-esque defensively for a few weeks, Green Bay, and then go to Dallas and look like the worst defense in the NFL and get shredded like Swiss cheese for 3.5 hours. But they gave up almost 500 yards and 6.5 per play and 40 points to the Cowboys in a game that came down to the final seconds. Green Bay did everything they could to completely lose the football game. Inexplicably, one final second didn't go off the clock despite it being in Dallas.
I mean, that's the worst home clock in human history, by the way.
The longest second?
Yeah.
Like, the ball basically
goes... It touched the backside of the Cowboys defender. Before it hits the ground, the clock guy's like, okay, I got it.
Right.
like, hands on buzzers, dude.
Someone texted me and was like, that's got to be zeros there, right? And I'm like, let me go back and watch. It was like at 1 second when the ball arrived to the area.
Like, I've seen on field goals where there's like 6, 7, 8 seconds left. The kick goes through and it's like 3, 2, 1. It's like hit the back of the net. And it's like, oh, the game's over. It's so wishy-washy on that.
Tony Romo, as a color commentator, has always said that if you have fewer than 7 seconds, you have to kind of count on it being your last play. Unless you purposefully take no time.
Right.
Because, like, the clock is just going to be, if everyone has to run to the end zone 10, 12 yards, whatever, it's a 6-second play. They had 6 at the start of the play, and only 5 went off the clock. I still don't quite get how that happened. But anyway, the Packers accidentally had a second left. They tried to ruin it, and then they kick a game-tying field goal. But the end of that game, Danny, when everyone just kind of goes, now what do we do? I mean, the reaction, go back and watch the last few seconds of the game. It's really staggering. Players don't really know, and they're like, how do I feel? What do I do with my hands? It's 40-40. Mike Tirico's like, well, I guess we'll go home now. Like, why does this still happen? And I posted a poll at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. Maybe it could be our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day as well. Or maybe we could double dip on that. Presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades, best in class service and experience. What's worse, Danny? Ties in football or people who are okay with ties in football?
It's a great question. It's the okay with it. They're willing to accept all sorts of things. Like when a guy fumbles the ball through the end zone, and not only do you lose possession, which I could live with, but then you give that person, the other team who didn't do anything, 20% of the field also. The single most punitive action in all of sports. And everyone's like, yeah. Or the old people where it used to be like, sudden death overtime in a league that's about offense go, you got to stop them, man. Or the people that are like, hey, man, I don't love excessive celebration. Maybe you don't like taunt people right in their face. It's not something you teach kids to do. You don't like them celebrating. Stop them from scoring. Or people can be accountable for their actions. They all feed out of the same trough. The tie people don't mind excessive celebration people who like the fumble out of the end zone rule. I find that people who don't mind bad rules stick together. And they're this big solid circle in the Venn diagram.
They're like Lakers, Yankees, Cowboys fans.
Blue Devils.
It's just all one group that kind of, like bees, kind of flocks to the next thing. That's interesting. I haven't thought about that. I just know that whenever I say, man, NFL ties are unacceptable, and I expect everyone to high-five me and give me hugs about how great my point was,
right,
I get so much pushback. And it's always inexplicable and outrageous to me. Jordan Love, after the game, was asked by Melissa Stark, I think it was. She said, have you ever been part of a tie before? And he's like, no, definitely not. What he didn't say but should have said was, because at no other level would anyone allow for a tie. Because in college, when my games were tied in overtime, we just kept playing until someone won and someone lost the game. And the worst part is, it always happens because it's a curse against me. I know it because of how much I hate ties. It's got to be in the division.
Mm-hmm.
So now all year long in the standings,
they're and one.
I'm an and one situation. This is a foul going to the rim. It's a 1-2 and one for the Cowboys. So my math can never be clean again.
So much the professor and skip to my Lou.
It's never wins and losses and percentages and how many games back you are. It's half games and it's and one. I hate it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should hate it. What a great game. What a great day. And it came down to that moment where we just go, Huh, they kicked the field goal. It's tied. All right. Let's go home.
So I guess it's resolved now. Oh, it's the worst.
I went up to bed. My wife, who gave it until like right around the third quarter, she put in the effort.
Yeah, a little college try.
College try, right? She was trying to be a good friend. So she's laying on the couch. She's like, I got to go. So I go upstairs. I get in bed, and she's like, who won? I'm like, they tied.
Nobody.
And she said, you're kidding. I said, no, it's 40 or 40. She goes, what a waste of everyone's time. True.
That's what it is.
I can't disagree with you.
Yep.
Every player, every coach, every fan, every person, there were 20 million of them that tuned in. None of us got resolution.
There is no resolution. It's a waste of everyone's time.
And soccer does this every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
Imagine that being a thing. So the other annoyance I have is it's 10-minute overtimes now.
Oh, yeah.
You've made it easier than ever. Both teams get the ball, and it's 10-minute overtimes. You are increasing the chances constantly with every change they make. We have somewhat fixed overtime because at least both teams get the ball. But everything that they've done while shortening the clock has made it easier than it's ever been to have a tie game.
Well, the irony to me, not lost on me rather, is moments before it ended in a stupid tie, Mike Tirico, in like a brief moment of shtick with Chris Collinsworth, was like, new overtime rules are fun, aren't they? And Collinsworth was like, hey, it certainly is, you know. They continued to tweak
it. The old ones.
Well, that's the point. But it was like, this is so much more fun. I'm going, oh, just you wait. Just you wait until they mismanage the clock here and they get a field goal out of it.
So there's two ways to do this. Keep playing football until someone wins.
There you go.
We don't need a clock.
Mm-hmm.
Or we do, but.
We need a clock. It's got to end eventually.
Sure. Yeah. End of 15 minutes, you don't want to play a sixth quarter. Totally understand that. Safety, NFLPA, whatever. Anybody watch UVA Florida State this weekend? Anybody see that little gem on Saturday night? That was pretty fun, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
That was a good time. College rules. They're excellent. It works. You go back and forth. You spot the ball at a play. You know, in college, it's the 25. In the NFL, we could make it midfield. Make it interesting. Give it some strategy. All of a sudden, you know, maybe you can make a 68-yard field goal if you need to, if you don't get any yards, if you go incomplete three times. Put it at the 40. Plus side of the field. Don't care. You can't have ties. Come on, we can do it. We can fix this. We fixed so many things.
Come on, guys.
We fixed the thing where the coin going the wrong way meant you lost the game because you didn't get to touch the ball no matter what. We fixed it. We did that. Let's fix the bigger problem.
We got kickoff returns back.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? We're fixing stuff. Come on, I got my whole set of tools right here. The tool belt's open. I'll take a look. I'll look at whatever you got that needs fixing. I got some momentum. It's a nice little honey-do list. We're knocking them off, right? People watching baseball games now. They're going to baseball games. We fix that. We can fix your little problem right there. Just no more ties. Don't be like the sport that has ties. Be a non-tie sport.
Isn't this a show, The Fixer? Like Marcus Lemonis?
It feels like it's a show.
Right? Let's be fixers.
The Fixers.
We could do this together.
It sounds like a Jason Statham movie.
Kind of does, actually.
The Fixer. So I go and fix it.
Jason Statham just chopping some necks.
Short sentences.
He's driving people around at high speeds. There's going to be some type of
building
scaling scene.
Car
at some point.
Chase.
The Commanders are 2-2. Are you worried or are you waiting a week? Worried or waiting? That's next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.